Welcome to the Trending Show. Now, here's your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Welcome, Trendies. This week's podcast will feature a rundown of all the top trending stories culled from Google Trends. I will eliminate the ones I don't like and focus on the ones I do. The Trending Show is made possible thanks to the generous support of Cobra Electronics. Follow them on Twitter at Cobra Electronic, all as one word, and yes, in the singular. And let them know you heard about them from at Trending Show. I'd also like to thank Nikki Schultz for leaving me that 5-star review in iTunes, even though Nikki did not reference a pastry in the review title or body. That is not mandatory. The only mandatory part is that you leave me a 5-star review. You don't even have to have heard this podcast. Just leave the review. Thank you. Monday's biggest non-goblin shark story, which to be fair started trending while I was researching last week's edition, was the Huffington Post coverage of the 2014 Met Gala, where A-listers, red carpet mavens, and the fashion elite came together to celebrate the Metropolitan Museum of Art's fashion exhibit, Charles James Beyond Fashion. This event is such a big deal, I have never heard of it before today. And most people probably feel the same way. So the Met Gala wasn't trending because it was the Met Gala. It was trending because Kate Upton, the 21-year-old supermodel and Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover girl, attended wearing what seemed to be a see-through dress. This Dolce & Gabbana dress, known as an illusion dress, features a nude sheer underlay, which gives the impression, on a first glance, that we are seeing many of Kate's parts exposed. But on a second pass, discounting that Kate's hidden superpower is invisible nipples, it is quite obvious that she is not walking around mostly nude. But that did not stop this story from racking up a quarter of a million hits. Lara Logan was trending, and I feel you on that deafening silence, Trendies. Lara Logan, who usually wore red and yellow, worked as a correspondent for 60 Minutes, the news program your grandparents watch. She was suspended back in 2012 after a story she authored was debunked. In this story, she detailed an attack on a U.S. diplomatic post in Benghazi by insurgents, which she claims to have subverted and ultimately countered by body-slamming their 800-pound leader in front of 95,000 fans. Lara Logan was criticized for using her good looks, provocative wardrobe, and leg-drop finishing move to advance her career, until simple fact-checking revealed that a lot of her facts were really facts inside a pair of air quotes. Logan is scheduled to put over Clarissa Ward at the Sky Dome. Okay, a disclaimer before this next story, Trendies. On this podcast, I tend to avoid stories from HollywoodLife.com because they all seem to be written by girls in the 7th grade, and I dodge stories with subjects that have hard-to-pronounce names. Well, whatever it is exactly that the phrase, the exception that proves the rule, is supposed to mean, here we go. Boko Haram are not a dreadful cover band that empties bars with an interminable fish-style jam of a whiter shade of pale, but something far more insidious. They are straight-up terrorists responsible for more than 1,500 murders in the first 3 months of 2014 alone. Their activity is mostly focused in northern Nigeria, which is only a relief in so much that it means I have the Atlantic Ocean between us. Suicide bombs, car bombs, and general mass murder make for a ghastly resume, but last month they added mass abduction to their CV when they broke into an all-girl boarding school and kidnapped around 300 girls, at least 233 of which they are still holding as of this recording. The leader of Boko Haram, Abubakar Shaku, or something that sounds like that, issued a video on Monday saying the girls would be sold into slavery, essentially declaring his profession as a human trafficker. So, in case it is not yet clear, this is the guy we need to drop a tank on before we get to that jagweed in Nevada. His video, which will one day be a case study into criminal insanity, contains this message straight out of the Dark Ages: slavery is allowed in my religion, and I shall capture people and make them slaves. And it is this unhinged mindset that likewise inspired Shakau's predecessor, Mohammed Yusuf. That's Cat Stevens, right? I love his music. But apparently not his ideology. Nigeria's president, which I am sure everyone else has already beaten me to a solid punchline on, is really named Good Luck Jonathan. Has appealed to the United States for help, apparently having just seen Captain America the Winter Soldier. to whoever gets a hold of Abu Shekau and gives him the Batroc the Leaper treatment, the next 1,000 rounds of Starbucks is on me. Other than the overly friendly barristers that address me as beloved, I have no relationship with anyone from Nigeria. When I remember it even exists, I try to remember it long enough to put it on my list of the places I never, ever, ever, ever want to go. Or, to put it another way, I am content not to care about Nigeria. But now I do. While researching this story, it was all too easy to find related stories detailing the horrors that the people of Nigeria have endured, many of them at the hands of Boko Haram and their offshoot groups. This is because these lowlives prey on defenseless people in rural areas, where the comparatively weak government's limited resources and reach are already spread too thin. And they've been doing this for years. Now, however, the world is paying attention, and I guess that's what it takes to shake me out of my comfy first world haze. CNN.com, I would usually take you to task for publishing an article titled, "Terrorist Groups Such as Boko Haram Prey on Girls Because They Fear Them." But I won't, because we need to be reminded every day that there are people an ocean away from us that need our help right now. When I used to travel abroad regularly, I was always unnerved by the amount of hatred the United States elicited from others. Our interference in foreign lands, our military, everything about Miley Cyrus, blah blah, whatever. Hate us for all those reasons, but it is for days like this that we need the most overarmed killing force on the planet. Can we please get the USS flag into the Gulf of Guinea and get all Yo Joe on these creeps ASAP? And afterwards, let's cook hamburgers and sing Waylon Jennings songs really loud to piss everybody off. Just save the schoolgirls first, and then let's go back to being fat and obnoxious. That's the American way. You know, I didn't expect to make a G.I. Joe reference prior to the part of the show where I discuss Cobra Electronics. But there it was. The Cobra floating walkie-talkie radio is now on sale. The CXT-1035 is a compact, versatile, two-way radio. It's good for year-round use, and it's got a range of, get this, up to 37 miles. This rugged, floating radio offers access to emergency radio alerts and all-hazard weather reports, and it features Cobra's exclusive Rewind Say Again feature for up to 20 seconds of playback of a missed transmission. And this outdoor essential is being discounted right now up until Father's Day over at Cobra.com, where they've knocked off $30 from the regular retail price. So head on over to Cobra.com and save a few bucks. The really heavy material is bogging me down, Trendy, so let's shift over to a fluff piece here. Let's see, what do we got? House fire, that's not what I want. Earthquake. Eh, I've been pushing the John Tenta button too often. Here we go. No property better clarifies the generation gap for me than Pokemon. Pokemon really hit its stride as a pop culture generation-defining phenomenon just a little too late for me. Pokemon is the thing little kids play. There's a yellow one that is not exactly a rabbit that I could probably pick out of a police lineup if the other suspects were not also yellow rabbits. It has rosy cheeks. You know the one I'm talking about, right? That rabbit might be the Pokemon. I'm not sure if it's a Hootie and the Blowfish type deal with him. Anyway, Pokemon is not just a thing for little kids. I'm friends with grown men that still play Pokemon. They compete in Pokemon tournaments. They know staggering amounts of information and trivia from that wacky universe. It has massive international appeal and is still going strong today with the pop culture staying power really only rivaled by the Power Rangers. Pokemon Omega Ruby and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire were announced, and to Poketypes the world over, this was cause for much rejoicing. Why? I'm not going to pretend to understand any of it, but Crave Online broke it down like this. These games are continuations of the third generation of Pokemon, which began in 2002, and the third generation of Pokemon featured a big leap in audiovisual fidelity, as well as a terrific number of under-the-hood, game-changing features. Now, I understand that the Ruby and Sapphire designations clue Poketypes into the Generation 3 link right away, but I would like to state that Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are almost certainly the names of strippers somewhere in the world. And before the tweets start coming, relax. I know the cute little yellow electric mouse thing is Squirtle. Wednesday and Thursday were dominated by sports stories, the vast majority of which, over 24 in all, sprung from the NFL draft. But this is the episode where we guess at what being the exception that proves the rule means, so here we go. There is a real person named Ha Ha Clinton Dix. USA Today says, that is not his given name, and to USA Today I would like to say, shut your noise. I don't want to hear that. If this guy doesn't end up in at least one SNL sketch with a surprise walk-on by Monica Lewinsky before the next Super Bowl happens, I will eat an entire funnel cake by myself. Mark my words. Happy Mother's Day was trending on Friday, and I am guessing that is because no one wanted to pay the $19.95 upgrade to have an order delivered on Saturday. So Friday is gonna have to do. Also trending at the end of the week was the R-rated comedy Neighbors. That stars Rose Byrne, Zac Efron, and Seth Rogen. And it ended up thrashing the lukewarm Amazing Spider-Man 2 at the box office. Preliminary numbers show the Spidey sequel down 72% from last weekend, a giant drop-off no doubt brought on by the tepid reviews. Now, a few sites tried to make sense of the rise of Neighbors as if it were at the expense of the Spidey sequel, saying it stole Spider-Man's core demographic. And to that, I take immediate and rather high offense. You could not drag me to a Zac Efron movie, even if Zac Efron was playing Jason Todd in the big screen adaptation of A Death in the Family. Messy and weepy, this 38-year-old guy who spent most of his years putting on colorful spandex and fighting masked bad guys picks Amazing Spider-Man 2, even through gritted teeth, and with the slightest twinge of reluctance, as the incoherent Regal Cinemas employee mumbles something through the not-functioning speaker embedded in bulletproof glass and then slides me my ticket. Why have you forsaken us, Nicholas Hammond? And the big trend on Friday was Dr. Dre, who was searched up about 200,000 times because Apple, the company, not the milkshake, is buying Beats Electronics from Dre and Jimmy Iovine for $3.2 billion. Beats Electronics is the parent company of Beats by Dre, a stylish line of headphones I walk past regularly at Target while on the way to look in the toy aisle to see if they've gotten the new Cesaro action figure. No one is buying these Alberto Del Rio figures, Vince. Tell your marketing people to pull new numbers. Both Dre and Iovine are longtime moguls of the music industry, with tons of top-shelf credits to their names, and they even jointly brought a saucy white kid named Eminem to the stage with their savvy and slick production. So, if you were worried these guys, who have worked with everyone from Bruce Springsteen to Mary J. Blige to U2 to Snoop Dogg, were running short on cash, dismiss those fears. Apple is cutting them a check so big they can go home with all the Alberto Del Rios. And now we will part ways, Trendies. Please leave your 5-star pastry-themed review of The Trending Show in iTunes for me to discover. Join Clayton Morris and I over at the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, a weekly podcast we continue to make despite increased political pressures from Spain and Portugal. See you in a week. Adios, amigos.